Heather, this is the third and last of our conversations about the implications of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. We've talked about individual mandates and annual penalties and how premiums will be determined and who can get a subsidy. And it's been really interesting so far. I'm starting to hear news on the national scene about federal exchanges and how they're discovering that there is some good price news out of those states going that way. But for our final conversation, the question exists, okay, it's happening. What do I do?
Okay. If you currently have health insurance through your employer, then most likely the employer plan will be the best option. If you do not have insurance through your employer, if you have an individual plan, say, directly with Anthem, then you will have an option for early renewal with any carrier really in the state of Kentucky. They're all offering an option for early renewal, which the advantage to that is you would be able to stay with what's known to keep your existing plan from December of this year until the next December, and then you would be affected by changes. And if you're not a grandfathered plan, then you would have to move over to an ACA-compliant plan, which for what we know now means that your network may be more limited within the state, and definitely the carriers that are offering may very well limit that to only in the state of Kentucky unless it's an emergency care situation. So an early renewal may be a very valid option if you do not want to follow those limitations or you want to postpone that as long as possible. It may also be a concern if you wanted to go to the exchange to remember that you would be limited network and whether or not that fits within your normal care and providers.
Well, what about people whose work has them travel? What will they do?
If it was an emergency situation, then it would be covered. But if you're on one of those limited plans and you get a snotty nose somewhere, then that's a great question. And I think that some of those things will be worked through as we start through the next year and folks come into those situations and ask questions. But that, and again, back to my conservative approach is we can stay with what we know if we have coverage through an employer. Those plans are not as limited as the ones available on an individual basis for now.
I have to admit that I didn't completely understand what you said about the early renewal option.
Okay. If you have an individual plan, you'll be receiving a packet of information from your carrier offering to change your renewal date to December 1st, which what you accomplish with that is to postpone the ACA compliance until December of next year because you get a one-year renewal. So if you normally renewed in May, say, then you would move that date to December 1st and you would be locked in with your plan at that rate until next December.
So that really does make a lot of sense. You can let sort of things settle down and
right.
Jump in when there is presumably a more stable atmosphere. I mean, I don't want to be giving anybody any advice here. It just seems like it makes sense.
That's my conservative approach, like I say, but just to stay with what's known is an option. If you have an early renewal packet presented to you, that may be a valid option. If you cannot afford to keep your plan and you are eligible for subsidy, that's a personal decision within your normal provider list. If you're comfortable with taking that subsidy and going through the exchange, that's certainly another option. So it's going to be different based on personal situation.
National Public Radio reported that there were a surprising number of individual insurance, private insurance companies participating in the federal exchanges. And I'm just curious to know from your benefits advisor for Peel & Holland, a private insurance company, what is the company noticing industry-wide here? What are the insiders saying about the ACA and what's happening? As much as you can share.
Right. Of course, there's some good and some, that will remain to be seen how things can work out and logistically both and be cost effective. I think there are going to be some speed bumps. There are any time that we encounter change. We do have some concerns with, obviously, there's only two carriers in the state of Kentucky on the Kentucky Exchange. And we do not have those plans and rates available to us just yet. They say that they won't be available to us until next week when everything goes live October 1st. Just as of today, the federal exchanges have started coming up and with the rates being released. So, which even within those exchanges, or even within that federal exchange and then the federal partnership exchanges, those are different per state.
Is there any reason for the sort of right up to the deadline situation in Kentucky?
Not that I'm aware of. From completing our training, we can tell that the system is ready, and from what we've been told, it is ready. It's just the switch of a button to make it live. So if you go to that website today, it's there, and there's a shell, but the enrollment system side of it is not active.
That's the KYNECT. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Again, thank you so much for walking us through this stuff. I would admit that I still don't understand some of the things that you've told me about, but at least I'm starting to gather that the total effect of the ACA is really is just targeted for people who have not had insurance.
True.
And it will be interesting to see if the savings, healthcare-wise, to the taxpayer through this program will equal, if the reason for ACA is to make healthcare affordable for everyone, including the rest of us, it'll be interesting to see if it plays out that way.
It will be very interesting.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you, Kate.